Like I was telling Pastor Jim before church tonight that I had done some preparation. And it was funny because I've heard so much being in Bible school from other pastors in classes and everything that when you think that the Holy Spirit has given you something to speak on, don't be surprised if at the last minute he changes his mind and leads you in another direction. Well, tonight I'm not going in a totally different direction. I'm still going to give my testimony and my faith walk. But I had an encounter tonight on the way to church that changed things a little bit, mostly my focus for tonight. And that encounter, I stopped at CVS, and I was in line to pay for my purchase. And an acquaintance of mine, many years ago in the 80s, I used to play softball on the Groton women's softball with her. And over the years, I have bumped into her from time to time. And we bumped into one another tonight in the line at CVS. And she asked me, she said, "Becky, what's going on? What's wrong?" And so I started to talk to her and tell her what the doctor said and what I believe. And it was very interesting chat, and she was very interested in what I had to say. And when I was leaving, she said, "I'll walk out with you." She said, "I'm still waiting for my prescription." So she walked out with me, and we're chatting some more. And she ended up telling me about a friend of hers named Cecilia that is in her church. And this woman did a lot in the church. She just served God and did many, many things. When something needed to be done, she was the one that they called on. Well, along the way, something happened. She doesn't know what, but Cecilia succumbed to liquor and became an alcoholic. And she said that it was really terrible because the church always expected her to be there and do things and always knew she would be there and be able to do things. But when she ran into this problem, she said, nobody helped her. Nobody cared. Nobody, they all kind of shunned her. And she said, it was horrible. And I said this. She said, this woman just continued to decline and decline. And it got so bad that she was in an accident because of being under the influence. She ended up in jail for a month. And when she was in jail, the God that she knew came through and helped her. And she is now on the road to recovery. However, in the telling of this, my friend Nancy said, she knew, Cecilia knew that she had to get to the pits, the lowest of lows, that God gave her that in order that she would learn how to get out of it. And I felt so sad at that point. And I told her, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if she had the revelation that I do, that God is a good God, that God doesn't put bad stuff on us to teach us lessons. And I was just saying this in a calm voice like I am now, and just, you know, like an informational kind of thing. But she started getting visibly uncomfortable when I was saying what I believed and how much more wonderful. I told her, I said, it's wonderful that she had God through all that. I said, but God didn't give that to her. Satan did. And I said, we're just not taught about Satan in the churches. In the church I grew up in, I hardly ever heard about him. And when I did, it wasn't done in a way to say that he's attacking us all the time. It's just to say that he was there. And I also grew up thinking that God gave us stuff, or I tried to wrap my mind around that and always felt uncomfortable with it. But having been told that God is the one that does that to teach us stuff, because he had a perfect plan for us, and that plan included all these trials. So needless to say, when I got true revelation that our God is a good God and everything good is from God and all that bad stuff is from Satan, it totally turned my life around. Totally. And so tonight when I heard that, when Nancy was telling me that story about this woman and what she believed, and she kept repeating that, well, this is what that woman believes, and that's how she got through this. And I said, glory, hallelujah. Thank God that God was with her in some way or shape or form to help her come through this. But wouldn't it have been more wonderful if she knew who God really was and she didn't even have to go through that in the first place, that she would know how to fight Satan? So that kind of changed my focus tonight on telling my story, in the sense that this is all the way I grew up. It's what I believed and or tried to believe, because it's like, wow, God, why all this bad stuff, and why do you need to give us bad stuff? It just never made sense to me. So anyways, I'm going to go way back to begin, before my beginning. My parents, my father was brought up Catholic and my mother a Methodist. And when they were going to get married, they originally went to a priest. And the priest ended up telling them that if you get married, all your children will be bastards. And therefore, my father and mother didn't like that very much, and they ended up getting married in the Baptist, in the Methodist church, rather, in the Methodist church. So to this day, I have all my Babcock cousins are Catholic. And all through my life, and a lot of kids in school that I went to school with in West Groton, being a small community, a lot of them were Catholics, because that was the what most people were in town, were Catholics. And I grew up thanking God a lot that I wasn't brought up Catholic. I had enough, I didn't know a whole lot about Catholicism, but I knew enough that I was so happy that I was not Catholic. But I also knew enough from what I was getting that I felt a certain pride or, what is the right word? Snobbishness, that I was a Congregationalist and that I was lucky and these poor Catholics. So, but anyways, that's how I ended up growing up in the Congregational church, because when my parents moved to West Groton, they didn't have a Methodist church there, so it's only a Catholic church and a Congregational church. And since my mom was Protestant, we went to the Congregational. And then several years later, after my older sister and brother were born, I was born. And right away, Satan tried to take me out, because I came out of my mother's womb with the cord wrapped around my neck. And when I got revelation of God and who God truly is and everything, I said, oh my gosh, he tried taking me out right away. Right away. But I survived. And I praise God. Praise God. And I was baptized as a baby in the Congregational Church, as we all are, with the water sprinkling. And I've always grown up believing that because I was baptized as a baby, I was going to heaven. That was one of the things that I believed until I was 57 years old. I thought I was all set. I thought I had my ticket so that anything that I did was okay. I knew God forgave. I did know that. So when I went through a lot of bad stuff in my 20s and early 30s, I always felt God with me in a way, but I didn't have a true relationship with him. And I didn't necessarily think of him every day like I do now. And not only every day, but almost every minute. but I was in Sunday school at the age of 3 years old, with what we call toddlers today. And I grew up in that church going to Sunday school. And when I was in the junior choir, and up until the time of high school, I went to Sunday school all the time. And I did learn some things that have stayed with me through life and really helped me a lot. And one of the things is, the major thing is that there is good and bad in everybody. I did learn that. And to always look for the good in people. And that's what I've done my whole life. And there have been certain instances along the way where people that I worked with or whatever just could not believe how I got along with certain people in the office. And I would just say, well, they have good in them too. They're not all bad. And I've always been taught to look for the good, not the bad. So I look for the good. And that way I've been able to get along with just about everybody in life. There's only been maybe not even a handful of people that I've never been able to get along with because of that teaching. But that was about, I have to say, looking back, all I got out of that at the time. When I got into high school, I started working. We have Grottonwood Baptist Camp and Conference Center in Groton. And I started working there on weekends during the winter, fall, winter, spring months. And I would go down and stay the whole summer down there. Up until the last, after I graduated. So because of that, and because we always had Vesper services, and I got a lot more of God than I had been getting before. However, it still wasn't anything like I know today. Nothing like I know today. And God was a part of my life, but I didn't really know him. I didn't really know him. I talked to him from time to time. I don't ever recall knowing that he talked to me. But I used to talk to him. And so basically, from the time that I graduated and through my 20s, a lot of questions started coming up in my mind. And the one that really came over and over and over and over again is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay, I know the Father, who the Father is. I know the Son is Jesus, but who is the Holy Ghost? Why do we have Holy Ghost? And for the longest time, I didn't even feel comfortable to ask pastors, what about Holy Ghost? And we'd read about Holy Ghost in the Bible, but I never knew who Holy Ghost was because we never had any teaching on Holy Ghost. We never had any knowledge about who the Holy Ghost really was, or that the Holy Ghost was inside of us. Oh my gosh, when I got that revelation, it was amazing. And we used to talk about Pentecost on Pentecost Sunday, and that the Holy Spirit was given to all those people, but it was never referred to the fact that we have it, and that we have it now. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's just crazy. Another question I had was, why did Jesus have to die? I knew he died for our salvation, but why? I mean, that was never really taught. They read scriptures out of the Bible. And over the years, I used to open up my Bible every once in a while and start to read and try to read it, and I would just get totally frustrated, and I didn't know what I was reading, and it was just very difficult, very hard. So I never really got anything out of reading the Bible myself. So I figured, why, God, why did you have Jesus die that way? Why couldn't you just make everything better? Why couldn't you do that? Well, when I got revelation the big revelation was, I knew that Adam and Eve ate the apple and that Satan came along, but I never truly understood, even when they read those scriptures, I never truly understood, because they never taught it, that Satan was the master of this world. And that because of that, God had to find a way for us to get back to him. And that was a revelation in itself, but it's like, why? Why does God have to find a way for us to get back? And the biggest revelation of all was finding out it's because God doesn't go back on his word. And it's like, everything clicked in. Everything made sense. And it's like, wow. It's like, now I understand. This all makes sense. That's why he had to send Jesus. That's why Jesus had to die that way. And he took every sin, past, present, and future, upon himself, upon that cross, for us. For us. So that was just super awesome when I found that out. Another question I had all the time was why God did bad things to teach us lessons. You know, as I said earlier, I grew up thinking, you know, that way because that's what I was told, but there was an underlying uneasiness about that my whole life, and I never understood until the day that I listened to Andrew Womack's teaching, "You've already got it, so stop trying to get it." And I learned that God is a good God, and God does have a perfect plan for us, but it's interrupted by Satan, and that everything good is from God, and everything bad is from Satan. And it's like, wow. It's like, wow. And I just started pumping my arms in the air going, yes, God, yes, I knew you were a good God. It's like, oh my gosh, I knew immediately why all my life I felt so uneasy about everything. It's because we've been taught a lie. We hadn't been taught what the Bible said. And anytime I did, again, try to read the Bible, that never penetrated my brain. Never. So it was just awesome when I learned that. And another question was, why does he heal sometimes and sometimes he doesn't? You know, what's with that? And again, getting revelation that God already has healed us, that was what Jesus died on the cross for. It wasn't just for our salvation. Salvation in Greek is sozo, and sozo includes not only salvation, but it includes healing and prosperity and deliverance. It's like, and everything else. He provided everything on the cross with Jesus dying for us, for our sins, for our transgressions, for our sicknesses and illnesses. And he did it all. And he's only going to die once. So it's done. It's done. We already have it. We already have it. We don't have to pray to him for our healing. We don't have to think about, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to be the one he's going to heal today? Or is there a few people in front of me that are going to get it before me? Or it's like, wow, he has already done it. We are already healed. What a revelation that was for me. What a revelation. So that was quite interesting to get that. Enduring my 20s, I ended up getting married. And why, I don't know. But I married a Catholic. All my life I had brought up, just leave it there, Jim. I had been brought up in thinking, you know, all these Catholics, they just don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're thinking. And, oh my gosh, you know, I was in the same boat, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it. When we told his parents we were going to get married, his father started crying because I wasn't Catholic. Not his mother, his father started crying. So anyways, we did. We got married. So in the 70s, I started going to Catholic Church. And my husband was not really a believer. And he didn't want to go to church, but we lived in the same town as his parents. And he knew he was expected to go to church. So we went to church. And it was during this time that I'm going to Catholic services that I started hearing the phrase born again in the media quite often. Born again. Born again. Born again. Well, why do I need to be born again, and what do they mean by that? And oh my gosh, it must be a hippie fad that's out there, religious fad. I really thought it was a religious fad. I didn't know it was in the Bible. Because talk about trying to read the Bible on my own sometimes and not getting it on my own. The Catholics don't read the Bible. That I have learned. They don't read the Bible. They do what the priests tell them. They go by what the priests say. So here I was going through this period of time thinking that, and then learning that born again meant that you were saved or you're going to heaven or whatever. That was about the only explanation I got. So here I am thinking smugly, well, I was baptized as a baby, so I'm going to heaven already. I don't need to be born again. That's what I was thinking during that time. And so it was kind of crazy back then because it was just crazy. Well, that marriage ended up ending after 4 years, and it really should have ended much sooner because a couple months after we were married, he had completely changed. His whole persona completely changed. And I challenged him on, and I said, what is going on here? I said, I don't even recognize you. What is happening? You don't like to do this. You don't like to do that. We used to do this all the time. We used to do that all the time. Now you don't like anything. And he looked me square in the eye, and he said, well, I said and I did what I needed to get you to marry me. He just wanted to be married and out of his parents. He was in a rebellious stage with his parents, and he just wanted to get out of all that. So he latched on to the first girl that he thought he could be with and everything, and that was me. And he said a lot and did a lot, and I fell totally. But when looking back on that whole situation, 6 months before we got married, I had an inner feeling, a gut feeling. Something was telling me, don't marry this man. Don't marry him. And today, because of what I know about Holy Spirit, I know that was my Holy Spirit trying to tell me that. But I didn't know. Never mind. I mean, I thought I was baptized and going to heaven, and I thought being born again was a fad, and I'm going to listen to somebody I don't know. I thought it was me. I thought it was my soul or my conscience or whatever, and I thought it was me just feeling whatever, but I was so head over heels in love, I just went ahead. And a couple of months afterwards, I found out why. So if I'd known about Holy Spirit and who Holy Spirit was, I never would have gotten into that very bad marriage. And he had done such a good job talking to me and telling me what I wanted to hear and everything that I didn't leave for 4 years. So anyways, but after that divorce, in the 80s, I ended up moving back to West Groton, where I grew up, and moving back into the house I'm living in today, right next door to the church that I was brought up in. And right away, I got involved with Girl Scouts and Sunday school and going back to church, Congregational church, not Catholic church. And my eyes were just being opened. I am skipping a lot of the really gritty stuff that I don't want to get into that happened to me during my 20s, between the time that I got divorced and when I moved back to Groton and all that kind of stuff. But a lot had happened. And when I moved back to my hometown and started getting involved with children, the innocence of children and what the things children say and everything just started turning me around again and getting me back on track, per se. So I spent those years kind of getting a sense of who I was again. And I also got involved in sports, the softball team. I just did a lot of things. I ended up joining women's chorus, not a women's, but a community chorus. I did all kinds of things. And I just felt wonderful about being back living again. I guess this is the best way to say that. So the 80s were kind of like a in-between period. And then in 1990, I got married again. And this time, it was to a man that I had met when I was 16 at the Baptist camp. And I had known him through all the years and used to see him 3 or 4 times a year in groups of people that we all knew one another and everything. And we ended up starting to date and ended up getting married, and I just again was like feeling like on top of the world, and I thought this time it was the right thing to do, and this was who I was supposed to be with. And sadly, we had problems and issues within the first year, and we stayed together for 16 years. And the reason for that was there was a lot of affection. A lot of affection still, but some things had happened and we became roommates. We weren't really husband and wife. And then over the years, other things happened and other things came about. And it was just a real struggle. And 3 years in a row, I told him I wanted a divorce. And the first 2 years, he was able to convince me that he would go to counseling, and we ended up counseling with a couple different pastors, believe it or not. Even though he did not go to church, he made it plain when we got married that even though he grew up in the Baptist church and went to church and was in youth group and very active and everything as an adult, he didn't want anything to do with church. But it was okay if I did, and I got totally involved in my church next door. Did many, many things. I usually was involved in four, five, six things sometimes. Very, very active in my church. And when we finally, in the third year, or actually the second year of trying the pastor that we were going to, when we first started counseling, now I had always thought that he knew God, he just was kind of distanced from him, but he grew up with God, he knew God, and I felt safe in that, and that he didn't actively keep me from going to church, or he never made fun of it, he supported it in a way. But in the very first meeting, the pastor questioned him about his belief. And it turns out he was agnostic. So again, with other issues and things that went on that I don't want to talk about, I just realized, I said, oh my gosh, I made another bad choice. Because you see, I didn't have revelation yet of who God is, the true nature of God, and that if I went to God, and if I, when looking to be with someone, made sure that that person knew God, that when a couple comes together, if you both know God and God is first in your life, how wonderful that is, and that that's the way God wants it. So that was another thing that I look back on and see where I went weary in my faith journey, in my faith walk. So, I went through my life knowing that God existed, believing that God existed, but not knowing him and having a real relationship with him, and definitely not reading the Word very much. I tried at times, but when reading the Bible, not much of it made any sense to me. I struggled greatly to try to understand, and understanding was always stolen from me by the devil. I didn't know that then, but I know it now. So the first 57 years of my life were difficult, especially from my 20s onward. But then came February of 2009. And February of 2009 changed my life forever. And it's when I accepted an invitation from my friend to go to her prayer meetings. We were calling them prayer meetings at the time because we gathered together and we talked about things in our life and then spent an hour or two praying about them. And the very first night I went, they prayed for my healing of my hip and knees. At the time I was walking, but I was starting to experience some pain when working out on the treadmill, because at the time I was also exercising all the time and working out with the trainer, and I was really doing fabulous things, and I was all nicely toned and in good shape that way. I was overweight, but I was in good health because of the exercise. But I was starting to have trouble, and they prayed for healing, and the way they prayed is to pray that it's already healed. And I never heard that before. And the pain, all the pain and everything went away totally, completely. For a week, I was in no pain at all. And then the next week when I walked up to her door again, the pain came back on me. I didn't know then because I still didn't have revelation, but it was the devil attacking me again with new pain. I didn't even realize at the time that it was new pain. It wasn't old pain. It had gone away. It had been healed. Totally. This was a new attack of Satan, because he knew that by my going there, I was going to find out things he didn't want me to know. So in April, one night when I was leaving, Sarah gave me Andrew Womack's CDs of You've Already Got It, So Stop Trying to Get It. And she said, I think you'll be blessed by this. So I took it home, and that week I listened to it. And as I said earlier, as I was listening to those tapes, every once in a while I would just start pumping my hands up in the air and going, yes, God, yes. I knew you were a good God. I knew you were good. And that's when I had my first revelation of who God really is. And it was just amazing, absolutely amazing. So that teaching has changed my life forever, and glory to God, I'm thrilled about it. I finally understand that everything good that happens to me is from God, and everything bad is from the devil. The devil's only power is to deceive us, and boy, has he done a fantastic job of it. When I think I went 57 years being deceived, and another thing had happened to me in my 20s, when I look back on it, that I did have a friend at the time who was trying to tell me this stuff. And when I think back on the story that I told you at the beginning of tonight, running into this woman and her telling me this story about Cecilia, and that what she had gone through, and that she's coming out of it, and she's praising God for it, but she's also blaming God for getting her there in the first place because she believes it teaches her something. When I think of that, that's the way I always was, is that I thought sometimes he was with you, sometimes he wasn't. Sometimes he helped you, sometimes he didn't. And sometimes he gave you stuff to teach you a lesson. I believed all that. Sort of. I mean, like I said, I had an uneasiness about it, but it was what I was being taught, and I tried my darndest to believe. My darndest to believe. So when this woman was trying to tell me one time that I told her about a friend of mine who went to church all the time from when she was a little girl, very faithful, very involved in her church, but her husband wasn't a churchgoer. But that anytime she came home from church and would tell him that so-and-so needed this help and so-and-so needed that help, he'd be the first one to call up and say, I'll be there. You need a light bulb changed for an old lady, or some work done, or he was right there doing it. And I was trying to tell her that this guy's going to heaven because even though he doesn't go to church, look at all the good he's doing. And she tried telling me then, she said, it doesn't matter how much good he does. He's not going to heaven because of that. And I'm sure she told me more, and she probably told me the truth, but I didn't hear it. And I don't remember it today when I look back on that. I just remember what I told her and what I was trying to convince her. And you know, I was the snobby congregationalist. And the funny thing about it is this woman grew up Catholic, and she was still going to Catholic church, but she had gotten revelation from somewhere else, and she knew the truth. I know that now, looking back. She knew the truth. So I can connect with this woman, Cecilia. I can connect with her knowing that I spent 57 years that way, thinking that if something bad came, God was trying to teach me a lesson somehow. And I am so happy to know who my Lord and Savior really is, and that why he did everything for me and for you and for all of us. And I am so happy that I finally heard the Lord. I finally heard His word. And that I am so grateful that I am renewing my mind on a daily basis. And that I get to serve my Lord. And that I get to tell people my story. And that hopefully someone else will hear the seeds that I'm planting. And that they will come to know who the Lord really is and truly is. And I just pray all the time that people will get those seeds in them, and that they will get planted, and that they will grow, and that they will have their own personal revelation.